Hello and welcome back to The Break Room, a Superstore fan podcast. My name is Jordan Wiegand and I have our co-host Aylin Rowland.
Hello.
And long time no see, DJ Onlayo.
How's it going, everybody?
With his 100% KZ impersonation there.
Yes, yeah. Welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Everybody, I'm sure all the fans want to hear KZ's perspective on this episode. With his whole Mateo issues, but just scheduling couldn't work out. So I'm sure we'll get his thoughts next week or something. We can ask him about it before we start talking about the new episode. But people may know DJ from original host of the podcast. You did some of the interviews over the break as well. And he does all of our editing.
Yep, all the editings.
Social media.
Socials, yes. I'm the voice behind the blue.
You're the man behind the curtain.
Man behind the curtain,
Oz,
yes.
The great and powerful Oz.
Man, how do we usually do this? Okay, I'm just thrown off without having Casey here. We're talking season 6, episode 3, Floor Supervisor, directed by Betsy Thomas, written by Josh Malmuth, and it aired November 12th.
With the floor supervisor position available, Jonah decides to throw his hat in the ring, much to Dina's chagrin. Glenn and Mateo struggle to find the right balance in their relationship, and Garrett tries to prove he's been in love before. Everybody's initial thoughts.
I guess I'll start. I really enjoyed this episode. I don't know if it's because I watched it at midnight last night before I went to bed, but I was laughing a lot during this episode. I really did enjoy this. I thought it was a very strong episode after California Part 2. Yeah, I think that's what I'll say for my initial thoughts.
I agree. It was definitely a nice comedic episode. I definitely laughed more, but then again, there was nowhere to go but up.
Right.
And I the highlight in this for me was Glenn, surprisingly, in some moments, and then, Garrett's little storyline there. But yeah, overall, a lot of fun. Definitely a lot of other characters, too, were in this one. You know, that we hadn't seen for like a little bit. So I liked that.
Yeah. There's so much more opportunity now for the other characters to shine. And you saw it here. And I think you mentioned it the other week, Jordan. You said it's going to be kind of like a hard reset. And I felt that for like the first half of the episode. But then it really got going in the second half. Sandra really had some great moments, and of course the Garrett storyline. I'm excited to see where that goes. So
yeah, we were just kind of talking about, I guess we can start with Garrett's storyline because it's the smallest, right? Of these, but I think I'd mentioned a few times in the preview of the season or last week that that the show can pivot from the main relationship of Amy and Jonah. And that's one reason why I thought they could have kept them together just off screen, is because they can pivot now to this Garrett-Dina relationship that seems to be coming back up again, as we saw at the end of the episode when, he's kind of looking and it's implied that she either is the only person he's loved or he is just so interested in her that he is not going to pursue anybody else. So really excited about that. I was really great to see, what was the name, Tony, Sandra's foster child
Tony.
Again.
Yeah.
Really loved seeing him back and getting advice from Garrett. And I hope we meet this girlfriend of Tony's because she's like a skateboarder. What else did she do? There's like two things.
Oboe.
Yeah, plays the oboe. Yeah.
That's a juxtaposition for sure.
We gotta meet this lady.
He's like, yeah, she's sick. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just how you describe your girlfriend these days, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not the best way to describe him during COVID, I don't think.
But. Yeah, right. That's true. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting, that we got to see him again. Because remember last week when you read that, and I was like, well, how in the world does that come into play? You know, it's so funny when you read these and then, because that didn't have anything to do with anything else, you know, in the description. We were like, why is he talking about like his love life? And then
yeah, we were trying to guess how that even came up, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
It came up kind of very naturally. I love Tony with his question if any of those condoms were reusable.
In that moment, Garrett was like, oh, I gotta talk to
yeah. That's when he knew he couldn't just leave him alone, right? He's like, I gotta help this guy out.
Yeah. And then it took that turn because here he thought, oh, I'll just, you know, teenage boy, the obvious, I'll talk to him about sex and all that. But then he's like, how do you know if you're in love?
Yeah. And I like, you know, Sandra, we were just talking about this before we started, before you jumped on, DJ, but me and Aylin were talking ahead of time about Sandra and her kind of shade she's throwing at Garrett.
Oh,
with
yeah.
This whole,
yes.
That must have been hard for you, right? Like, you yes. didn't, you never been in love type of thing, and it really got under Garrett's skin to where he, you know, had to go back to Tony and be like, that all made, like, sense, right? Like, I actually helped you, but it turns out he was just saying a lot of stuff from movies, apparently, is
right,
how
right.
Tony is like, I already knew all that stuff from, like, movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it was funny, because then he's the one who started, like, sort of questioning him. About why he hasn't sort
right.
of, you know, felt that or taken that leap. And all of a sudden he's the one opening up to him about, well, you know, I've just never really opened up like that. And he's like, you know, for feelings. And Tony says, what's wrong with feelings or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's true, man. And then, you know, he looks at Dina or something and, yeah, that was good, though, because Sandra just kept saying, okay,
yeah.
remember.
And doesn't it always, like, piss you off, like, when you're telling somebody something
yes.
and they don't believe what you're saying and they give you that
yes.
kind of, like, condescending,
yep.
okay,
yeah,
sure.
Like, I believe you.
Right,
yeah.
and
okay.
you're like, no,
you
but
know.
Really?
Really.
Like a bless your heart kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. yes. And so much so that even, you know it's bad even when Garrett goes up to Glenn, remember, and he's like, yeah, Glenn, you remember when I dated that, whatever her name was, girl?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, but you were also seeing the girl from the pharmacy.
yeah.
Yeah.
And all that.
I'm surprised they didn't bring up the girl from last season, right? The one that...
Oh.
Yeah.
Colleen, right?
Colleen, yeah.
Colleen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. That was a small storyline that I really had hoped would come back, and it never did
yeah.
for him. Yeah, so what do we make of the, you mentioned it already, but what do you make of the whole, like, him looking at Dina? Like, you kind of said it, I think, Jordan.
Yeah, so
like,
I think
well,
there's two ways to kind of view it. There's the way to view it that is the only person he's actually loved, since that's what the conversation was about, or that is mm-hmm. why he's not pursuing anybody. And maybe it
yeah.
could be both.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are feelings there, and I think this is going to hopefully be the ramp up of that coming back, because
right.
I really did like their dynamic. And I think,
as
I'm going to talk about later with Dina, it was one of the things that made her more bearable to me, is her relationship
yes.
with Garrett.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
And we've barely seen the veterinarian enough to even make it any sort
right.
of issue,
Thing.
You know?
Yeah.
Right,
because, like, they're dating or whatever, but...
And we've seen him, like, three times.
Yeah, and she referenced him in the season premiere, so they still are dating.
Right.
Like, they're telling us that, but, you know, it's Dina. Like, how serious is she? Probably, you know, not very much, but, yeah, I kind of took it that same way, like, more of the latter, that Garrett definitely liked Dina more than he would have ever admitted to himself, you know, initially.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew he was attracted to her. I mean, you go all the way back to the first time she's in that sexy cop outfit, you know, that he's like, oh. But I think he ended up liking her more beyond that than he thought he would, you know?
Yeah, I think he caught feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it remains to be seen how many feelings Dina caught.
yeah, exactly.
but then again, he, you know, he was the reason her birds got away, so.
Right.
Yeah, I think that'll be brushed over at some point. I think it's so hard to, you know, keep a grudge for that long.
Right. I mean, we know, though, how much her birds mean to her, meant to her, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess anything else on this Garrett storyline before we move on to, I think we should maybe talk about Glenn and Mateo.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we're good.
Okay. So Glenn gives Mateo some executive decisions. He doesn't say what those will be. And Mateo takes that to heart and decides he is going to fire Justine. He's also going to, over the course, tell Carol she cannot take the day off because she didn't have a good reason. And then blame it on an argument that Jerusha was having with Glenn. And just pretty much gets in this hole of a... down the rabbit hole of lies here that then puts more stress, which Glenn has said he's been trying to avoid stress because Jerusha's telling him to, because that's why he stepped down the last time. And I like that they brought this up because I was wondering how they're going to pivot back to that.
Pivot.
Right.
Yeah, pivot. Pivot back to that after, you know, he had just stepped down last season. Was it last season? It was like, right around Christmas time of last season. Mm-hmm. And I think we would, you know, if America had not left, we would still be writing out this Amy management storyline, I think, and we wouldn't be going back to this. So they had to kind of just put a quick line in there on how he's back, avoiding the stress. He's going to walk away anytime a stressful situation comes up, like when he's trying to do the morning meeting.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and just for the fact, too, that, you know, some of that had to do with the fact of having Rose, because remember, he, like, realized how much she wanted to be more at home, you know, with his family.
Right. But when you also have stress, you're going to have probably a shorter lifespan, and then you're not going to be there for your kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely played into that. But, yeah, I guess thoughts as a whole here, you know, this would have been a perfect storyline for Casey to be on. Because, man, did Mateo drive me nuts on this one.
Me too.
As well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to when we'll get to it about the floor supervisor position, but how he was just going to say, let's just rig the votes because she's my friend. And it'd be great for us to run it together. It's very corrupt, Mateo.
Yes, yes.
I mean, are we surprised? No, not really, but...
No, but I did like that this actually, I felt like more like Mateo from season one, right? This felt Mateo that is going to try to one-up everybody while working. He wants the power. I thought that that's what made this really work. Instead of him being kind of the lazier Mateo that we've seen him with Cheyenne.
Right, because you were just... You were just talking about that. Yeah. You were like, what's up with him? He used to be like so, you know, constantly, you know, just doing stuff and trying to be competitive, and now he's just there, you know, type of thing.
Definitely truer to form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, this gets Glenn into this whole thing where he has to remember all the lies that Mateo was telling because he just wasn't man enough to tell Mateo that not to do any of this stuff. And then he goes to Carol and he comes up with some weird lie about how he got in a fight with Jerusha where she threw something at him and it hit him in his thigh and created a bruise that she can't see unless if he was in his bathing suit, but it'll be gone by its bathing suit
swimming season. Yeah.
But what I really liked about this is how into this Glenn got to, even when he sees Sandra and Garrett, he's like, and if you see Carol, tell her you saw my thigh bruise. And they're just like, what?
Yes. Yeah, because he's like, I have to go call Jerusha. Oh, but don't tell Carol. And if he, you know, make it, you saw my thigh bruise and it was hideous or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and didn't Carol call Jerusha a bitch or something, too?
Yeah, I think so. Which honestly, I started thinking about it too, because obviously we know Carol is all sorts of crazy. So it's taking, you know, it's a lot for someone who's that crazy to call someone else, you know, that
right.
You know, so it's like, okay. And obviously Jerusha completely isn't, but, and yeah, that's right. And it reminds me of what Glenn says when he said that, we don't even fight, like we swallow our anger.
Yeah.
And it comes out in small burps or something in the car.
Like any healthy marriage.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to swallow your anger sometimes. Is that accurate,
no,
Jordan?
No, you don't swallow your anger. You want to do the opposite. You want to talk things out.
You're supposed to communicate. Right. Maybe you should tell Glenn that. But yeah, toward the end of this storyline, I'm glad, though, that Glenn finally stood up to him.
Yes.
You know, because I honestly didn't expect
that. Me neither.
Did you?
No.
I didn't expect it. I just kind of thought it would end with him saying, like, something and Mateo would leave, like, in a hurry. But it surprised me that, you know, he told him, no, you're going to do what I say.
Right. Oh, what was that? The family plan you're going
to... Yeah. So was good he stood up for himself, but he gave Mateo pretty much what exactly he wants, right? You're going to be reading your magazines, texting on mm-hmm. your phone, in your office. Don't come out of there. and then you're also going to be on my family plan, was like...
Because you don't have any data yet.
Right. Was it was good to get the power away from Mateo, but it almost played right into what Mateo's like, that sounds fine.
He's like, okay.
Right, yeah. Hey, at least on one hand, he won't be running around trying to fire people in the store. He'll just be,
yeah,
you know, like with Justine.
Yeah, oh, he yeah. fires her and tells her she can't even shop there anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's messed yeah. up.
He says too awkward or something.
Yeah.
And what was the reason he was firing her again? Did he really give a reason, or was it just
Yeah, I think it was I just watched it again is why I remember. Otherwise, yeah, he, or she, excuse me, I think that somebody used the reward card or points
yeah,
when they didn't have it.
Without them being a member, yeah, that's what it was.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, something like that.
That's ridiculous. So, oh, man. Casey's going to have a field day with this.
I know. He really would have gone on and
off the charts. This would set a new precedent for a hate meter for sure.
I mean, because there are some weeks that he says he hates him, and I'm like, what did he do this week? He hardly did anything.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't it like the premiere? He said he didn't like Mateo, and he didn't really do anything.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, what do you mean? I mean, what are you going to say when he actually is being annoying?
Yep.
And I think this is the most annoying Mateo's been in quite a few seasons.
Oh, for sure. For
yeah.
sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. it really humanized him with a lot of the ice situation stuff. And then mm-hmm. This is kind of like and then they also kind of made him a jerk when he would blame everything on Amy, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But this is really like the worst he's been in quite a bit.
In a while. Yeah, I find that in order to sort of, like you said, you know, take him down not a couple notches or something is with that, you know, obviously the ice situation. Also, I think when he's with somebody in a storyline who is obviously not like him, it takes him down too. Like when he was with Amy's, you know, brother.
Yeah.
During Sandra's wedding, I think that adds another layer to him, you know, and he's not so much his usual, you know, snarky self, but
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Any more thoughts on Mateo, Glenn, before we move on to the big floor supervisor storyline?
I think that's it.
Cool. Cause this one's probably going to take up the most time here. Yeah. So
the election.
Yeah. The election.
Oh man, this was a very timely episode.
When
we get to, so the main part here of the storyline, of course, so just as a refresher, is that Amy left, Glenn replaced her, so then that leaves Glenn's floor supervisor position open, and Jonah tosses his hat in the ring, and he's really the only one that does it first, and
yeah.
And Glenn was just going to give it to him, but Dina, for whatever reason, doesn't want Jonah to have the position because she feels he will enact too many changes, which he probably would.
Right.
But his idea of having the walkie-talkies was a good idea. Dina says that she can't, she already has four backups, right?
Yeah.
For her one. And that they don't make that brand or style anymore.
Right. Cause he says like, well, let's just get some more. And she like literally laughs at him or something.
Yeah.
She's like, you can't get that anymore.
How about buy a different type of walkie-talkie?
I know.
Yeah.
Gosh, if she's not going to be the one using them, she doesn't have to have the specific type, you know? And it's not like walkie-talkies are like linked. It's just the same channel, the same frequency you're on. So you can have any type of walkie-talkie.
Dina.
So then, you know, she gets the idea that she's going to enact a puppet candidate, and she goes to Cheyenne and gets Cheyenne, who takes forever to realize that she's talking about Cheyenne. And she thinks that she'll be easier to manipulate, but Cheyenne obviously is not that way. I don't know. Do you guys feel like that this was a good play by Dina? Because I think from everything we've seen of Cheyenne, she's not as easily to be manipulated. I think Amy has tried manipulating her in the past with, like, you know, when she was trying to teach, go back to season one, when she was trying not to get Bo and her together, and I don't think Cheyenne was that easily manipulated, but maybe I'm wrong and misremembering something here, but.
No, I think, I mean, I agree with you. I think even though Cheyenne is, well, she was younger, of course, even back then, but even now, she's ditzy and she's naive in a way, but at the same time, that's different from being easily manipulated. You know what I mean? Which is what you're saying. You know, she kind of actually sees through that, and which she does at the end of the episode. So,
right. DJ, who would you have went after that you think would be easier to manipulate?
Oh, goodness. Maybe Justine?
I could see Justine because she'd just be, she's always seeking people to like her.
Right.
Do you guys think Sandra could be manipulated? I know sometimes Sandra lets power go to her head, but she's always kind of scared of Dina. Dina would still be above her. Like, do you think,
well,
Sandra?
I don't understand at all why, I mean, and Dina ends up going with him, but why didn't she go with Marcus to begin with?
For sure.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he is hands down, even more than Sandra, like the most easily, you know, person that you could do that to.
Oh, yeah.
Can Marcus, though, be floor supervisor at the same time as warehouse?
Right.
I mean, then you have to have somebody replace him in the warehouse, and I just don't know if, you know.
Yeah, I forgot he's in the warehouse. But, I mean, just in terms of character, though.
Yeah, I mean,
he's hands down, the most dumb. I mean, even when Dina says, you know, about it being an election, she's like, really? You know, the people are idiots. and she's just like, well, and he literally even shrugs his shoulders. He's like, yeah, I'm kind of an idiot. So
we get Cheyenne taking the spot and taking Dina's suggestion and throws her hat in the ring. They have an election and it becomes your standard election where people start digging up dirt on each other, people making promises they can't fulfill. I did laugh when Dina brought that up when she's like, no, you like when Cheyenne's like, don't I actually have to follow through on them? She's like, no, this is America. You don't have to do that.
it's so true.
So it was a good start to the storyline here, but let me say, Dina drives me crazy, and she's drove me crazy since season one. I just don't bang the drum about it enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think at times she's too Dwight-esque from The Office. Mm-hmm. Very hard stickler of rules. Sometimes, though, I feel like sometimes she'll bend the rules when it's in her favor.
Right.
Right.
There was an episode last season that kind of, I think it was, that reminds me of this type of episode where she just...
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. She's just so annoying, and she doesn't listen to anything that the person is saying.
Wasn't it... Are you maybe thinking of the one where, like, is it a Zephyr person or somebody comes to the store... And they're Amy's trying so hard to, like, make it like it's going to be a good thing. And Dina's just being, like, ridiculous for some reason. I don't know. For some reason, that's what I was thinking of.
I'm trying to think about which one it was. I think it was last season, but I'm just going to quickly scroll through last season's episode list. But if somebody wants to, while I'm searching for this, if somebody wants to take the baton here and go on about how they feel about... Dina trying to just instill Cheyenne to kind of boss her around while I'm looking here.
She really annoyed me in this episode. Actually, in some ways, even more than Mateo. Because, I agree, I don't like Dina when she gets so much into this territory. Just because of, from the opening, well, not opening scene, but from that early scene alone, you know, where Jonah... runs up to Glenn, and she's there too, where he's saying he wants to be floor supervisor. And just already in that scene where she jumps in and, you know, she's like, well, you as for, you know, floor supervisor, huh? Well, you know, yeah, I guess you're like a functioning adult. Like that's a little bit more, you know, than the last guy, meaning Glenn. But the minute though that she started, you know, talking about these ideas, you know, that he was mentioning, she was already driving me nuts because I'm like, she just doesn't want him to be floor supervisor because he would change things. Like, I don't know. Part of me doesn't, I get that. I guess that does make sense with her character in the way that she probably would be. But for some reason at the same time, and this is going to go into context of what happened the you know, last week with Amy leaving. I don't know why, but, and I'm going to touch on this again later with Jonah specifically, but I kind of thought Dina would, I don't know, call me crazy, but, I mean, Amy was, like, her best friend, too, and left, and I just kind of thought, for some reason, there'd be a little bit of a feeling there where she's like, oh, well, you know, Jonah just went through a whole lot. Not to say you want to give it to him just because she feels sorry for him, but I just kind of thought there would be a little bit more of a feeling or moment there. You know what I mean? Where she would, like, realize that. And because Jonah would need the distraction right now and it would be good for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that a real human would. But the thing is, she's not.
That's overreaching.
When I was thinking about it, when you were saying that, she had this whole thing last year where she was thinking he wasn't good enough for her anyway, right? So like, I did find it though. It wasn't a specific episode that I could find, but it was the build up to Sandra's wedding where she would not do anything Sandra wanted for Sandra's wedding.
For Sandra.
And I'm Sandra's wedding. Sandra wants these parties. Yeah. She wants this. She wants that. Mm-hmm. You're the bridesmaid. You're the maid of honor. Mm-hmm. You do it, you know? Right. It's when she thinks she knows what's best for everybody that, for me, gets on my nerves.
Oh, well, see, that's just it. That's what I was also kind of trying to, like, think, you know, to say is that it's one thing, obviously, when... like you said, she's doing it to, you know, she knows it's going to work more in her favor and benefit her. But on one hand, like Dina already runs the store being assistant manager in more ways than Glenn ever could or would. So I didn't kind of get it in that sense. Like, what more does she need to have some little peon, you know, like Cheyenne for, you know, who she thinks... to be floor supervisor so she can have, what, even more say over something else? I don't know. But, again, it's Dina, So I guess I'm overreaching there.
I mean, she always is pretty harsh, but it seemed a little extra even this episode. So I'm not sure if that'll balance out, but
yeah.
So then we get to, they dig up the, well, first Cheyenne lies about Jonah's going to take away breaks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's also going to offer breadsticks that are day old. Yeah. And Jonah then says he'll bring in breadsticks as well, since people seem to really like that. How do we feel about Nia, the new character? I feel like we've barely seen her. I didn't like that she immediately took Cheyenne's side with the breadsticks here. I'm going to be honest. I was rooting for Jonah to get floor supervisor.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, that's my thing. And I guess, like, I could get a little more into that here, because it wasn't just even Nina. It made me so mad, really, that, and again, this is because of last week and everything that just happened, but I was just like, God, nobody wants him to be floor supervisor except Marcus, even, like, for a second, because they all know that, yeah, Jonah's the one who's going to have more, you know, like, ideas or possible changes. Of course, this is before Cheyenne gave her a little speech at the end, but yeah, it just really bugged me that, it, like you said, like, even the new girl, who doesn't even hardly know anyone, jumped right in and was like, yeah, I like the breadstick thing. Everyone's like, yeah, I'm gonna go with Cheyenne. And she didn't even want to think of being, you know, getting that position herself. Mm-hmm. Dina was the one who kept describing her, literally, physically. Yeah. And she's like, oh, maybe I should run. You know, I don't know. It was just kind of not a great.
I was hoping we would get thing. The actual debate, too, that, you know, they'd hinted that they were going to have a debate, but we never really got to see anything of it, because it came out then that Dina just thought that Cheyenne would be easier to manipulate. And then Cheyenne started bringing up real ideas, and then pretty much the momentum just went from there to a clean sweep where she got all, all of the Electoral College to give her the position. Yeah. She got to 270 very quick.
Yeah.
The 270, she did. But remember, though, really what threw off the even potential for the debate was probably the fact that Dina puts up that picture and they all get distracted by talking about how Jonah went to Hooters 5 years ago. Yeah. And he's like, is this supposed to be, you know, a scandal or something?
I don't know. Was it supposed to look that photoshopped?
So, yeah, that's what I was going to say. But a lot of these TV shows have very photoshopped pictures, probably because they couldn't.
Right.
I don't know if they couldn't get a picture of these, of like three actresses like this. So they just photoshopped him onto some random picture or something. But yeah, this happens a lot in TV shows for some reason. Instead of just what seems like they should just be able to go and get four people. Three women, Jonah, Ben Feldman, stand in somewhere, take a picture real quick. But maybe with the COVID protocols, this was something that was a little bit more out of reach.
It looked so photoshopped.
Well, the thing is, I thought that was part of the storyline for 1 second. I was like, I thought Jonah was going to be like, oh, that's obviously,
that's photoshopped.
You've obviously photoshopped my head onto somebody. But no, they were playing it off as like a real thing that happened, so.
Yeah, he's like, I went to a restaurant 5 years ago. Yeah. And then he's talking about how he didn't even eat chicken wings and he had a caprese salad.
It's not even on the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah, which made it worse, right?
Yeah. And Dina's like, sure. Yeah.
That's great.
And Saeed, oh my gosh, that was one of my favorite moments in the whole episode. With Jonah.
Friend of the podcast, Amir Karendi.
Yes.
Wasn't that like, he's like, I don't even notice boobs.
What do you notice?
It's not even the first thing I notice.
Their personality. This guy.
This guy.
Yeah. That was like my favorite.
Oh my gosh.
Is Saeed the best addition to this show since, I mean, like, it was season four, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's been outstanding since season four.
And he does so much with so little.
For sure.
Yes.
You know, like, he's not there a lot, and but
if you're comparing it to like the Office DJ, he's like the Creed, right?
Oh,
he's
stealing
scenes.
Oh,
left
for
and
sure.
Right.
Stealing every scene. Yeah, definitely the Creed.
Yeah.
Of the of Superstore, yeah. Just less, you know, weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it was just so good. And like Jonah was just sitting there like, what? Like, I mean, you could even, he was just so confused. He's like, what, you guys mean you don't notice personality the first thing?
Well, here's the thing. How can you?
You
can't. It's literally right. Not the first thing you can figure out.
Oh, right.
Because
yeah,
obviously it's going to be like somebody's eyes or their face right now. Definitely their eyes right now with all the masks, right?
Yeah.
You're not seeing the rest of the face.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's why Saeed's given that, you know, this guy.
Yeah.
This guy. Oh, I know. I in that moment, too, I even felt like, you know, saying, oh, yeah, I'm sure, you know, Jonah, the first thing he noticed about Amy was her personality. Yeah.
For sure.
It
yeah.
wasn't, you know,
if it
that
was,
smile that lights up a room.
And exactly. If it was personality, Amy didn't give him much when she first met him. She was kind of a jerk to him. So,
oh, for sure.
She was.
So definitely... That it's not true on even Jonah's part, but he's just trying to say the right things.
Yes.
He's just...
He's trying to win an election.
He's trying to win an election, man.
This is true.
Yeah, that's what my wife was like, when did they film this? So I was like, weeks ago. Like, this is very timely and very relevant.
Yes.
with that recount bit at the end there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it gave me election vibes then.
Right.
You know, that episode, remember? Yeah, and which is one of my favorite episodes. And then, yeah, he just keeps saying, Cheyenne, Cheyenne, Cheyenne.
Yeah.
So does that mean Marcus didn't vote for Jonah then?
I hope he did. I hope he got one vote.
It sounded like it was unanimous is what it sounded like.
Almost, yeah.
I mean, come on. Marcus said he would even give Jonah a lap dance.
Yeah.
Just what Jonah wants. How do you think they even found that picture of Jonah? They stalk his Facebook and find a picture from 5 years ago?
I think Dina says Facebook, right? I think. Yeah.
And 5 years ago, that means that's season one, right? Or right before he got there, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. And I think, what, didn't he say I was there for a friend's birthday or something? Yeah, something like that.
So you think they were too harsh on Jonah with going to Hooters 5 years ago, Aylin? Is that a deal breaker for you?
Oh, I know. That would totally be what would change my opinion in an election for a candidate.
Yeah.
Hooters. Hey, you know, if we got a scandal like that these days... That's child's play compared to the stuff we actually
All Jonah
hear.
Had to do was say fake news and move on, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's rigged.
It's true.
Yeah. Anything else on this episode, or we want to give our golden vest?
If I could think of one other thing to say, kind of still plays into the everyone hating on Jonah or not wanting Jonah to be floor supervisor, but... I don't know about you guys. You guys know I'm still a little bit broken. I'm doing better, but I'm still a little bit broken. I'm going to be for a while, but I was a little surprised. Like, it was funny the way the episode ended, you know, with this, they're doing like the recount and it's everyone saying, you know, everyone voted for Cheyenne. I was so wanting like a sort of even half serious kind of moment somewhere there. I don't know where you would have put it though in this episode. Again, just for somebody maybe other than Glenn to quote check in on Jonah.
Yeah.
You know, because it's sort of done in the very opening sequence with the, you know, morning announcements when Glenn is saying, like, Amy's name. And he's like, oh, Jonah, I'm so sorry. And Jonah's like, oh, no, it's fine.
She still
you
exists.
You can say your name. Yeah, yeah, she still exists. So, like, yeah, Glenn, you know, mentions Amy, of course. But, yeah, I don't know. What about you guys? I was just a little surprised, given how heavy the previous episode was, that there wasn't even a little anything to... But, I mean, I guess they just decided, like, from there, okay, we're going right into the lighter fare, you know, and the laughter.
Yeah, maybe it'll come up another time, but I think they're mostly just going to just start moving on.
Yeah.
For the casuals and, you know, the people that might just tune in randomly as well, just because I don't know if there's much to explore there, because Jonah... You can't explore much of that without Amy. Like, you can kind of get into it a little bit, but then I don't think they want to lead people on to think that this is going to be resolved somehow, because we it may never get resolved, depending on if she can come back and stuff.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I guess I almost should say, like, I don't know. This is the question. I was wanting something because I was wanting to know, in terms of from the previous episode to this, how much time has passed. That's kind of where my head was, because I'm like, is this like a few days later? Is this like weeks later? What are we like looking at here? Because I, you know, if that's a part of it and it's been a little while, then I can see why they didn't do any sort of, you know, moment to address it in a more serious way. But if it was like not much time has passed, then it seems a bit like, oh, okay, you know, moving on. I don't know what you guys think, but I was just kind of wondering, like, when did Amy leave? When is this, you know, episode? Where does it fit into the timeline?
I feel like this has got to be much later. Not too much later, but I think we're pretty much probably caught up on normal time by now. Like, episode one only goes through July, I think. And then at that point, Amy knows she's moving. And then I think episode two is got to be like not long after that, because she found out she's moving. Right. So then I feel like this one maybe a few months later. I don't know, maybe not. I think it's hard to tell, because we're not going to have a lot of themed holiday episodes, I don't think, this year, just due to the way everything is shaking out and with COVID.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's where my head was regarding that, I guess. And that's why I was just kind of, overthinking that plot.
I mean, it can't be too long, because they're going to want to make sure that they had a floor supervisor. You're not going to leave that position, hopefully, unattended for super long. But
But, yeah, that was just kind of my last thing on that. And then also, just, I saw a few people mention this, and I'm so sorry, I can't think of who you were on Twitter, but a couple of people also kind of said a response to the thing I was just asking, but they were like, you know, I have a feeling that because this election didn't go Jonah's way, because he didn't get this job, they're just gonna keep maybe early throughout this season knocking him down. You know, slowly but surely, like, they're the Amy thing, of course, this, you know, not getting this position. And maybe at a certain point in, he's going to, like, have some sort of, like, breakdown. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe. I mean, like, wasn't it last year or 2 years ago that Garrett had a really rough year? So, like, if they do something like that with Jonah, it could work, you know, where you just look at it, you're like, man, Jonah's had a rough year.
And just, like, one day, I don't know what would set him off, but, you know, he would just, you know, go on one of those Jonah babbling sort of little meltdowns, and, yeah.
All right. Golden vest for you, DJ.
I'll give it to Garrett for opening up.
Good, because I'm not giving it to Garrett. I'm giving it to Saeed for for his the break rant, and then this guy is just so good.
He's gold, man.
They struck gold with casting him. He's too. Great. They really yes. did.
They really did. Yeah. I think I'm actually going to go with Tony, just because he ended up being the reason for, obviously, Garrett's storyline. And also it was pretty funny hearing Sandra talk about him, you know, like, oh, knew this day was coming.
Yeah, when you adopted him like a few months ago.
Yeah. And when she like tells Garrett that Jerry tried to talk to him about sex, but she...
He's very specific.
She's like, he was so specific. Yeah. And Garrett was kind of interested. Yeah. Like he started to ask, but then he's like, no, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I think Tony was second on my list too, just from his he was kind of an MVP definitely in the episode.
Definitely would be curious to see how much more he'll pop up. So
yeah.
Ratings.
The big ratings.
Yeah. Yeah. 0.5 in the demographic, so consistent from California Part 2. Viewers in million has increased from California Part 2 to 2.35 million. So, Casey, if you're listening, show's going nowhere this year.
Oh, yeah, his theories.
Yes, right. Yes. I'm very curious to see how they average out from here on out.
Interesting, mm-hmm. Yeah, with the increase from, you know, some people might think, okay, you lose America Ferrera, it goes down. But from a lot of sentiment I've seen online, a lot of people thinking that the show will continue to keep doing well without her.
A lot of the locals are even like, what are locals? Like,
well, yeah, what is that?
Oh, so I feel like that's what, at least maybe, I think I'm saying that right, but I think every now and then I see younger people than I on Twitter saying like people who watch shows but aren't really obsessed with shows. I think they mean more casual viewers. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm not saying that term right, but that's what I mean though. A lot of those people seem like, especially when I used to see them on the boards back when I was really obsessed with Superstore, when I would get on message boards, mm-hmm. There were a lot of people who on there, it's funny though, they're on there saying they're more casual viewers, but they're like, oh yeah, show will be great. It'll be even better off without Amy. And I'm like,
yeah, they may say they're casuals. If you're on a message board, you're not a casual. I'm sorry.
Nah.
Yeah. That's what I'm like, who are these people? What are you doing?
But I do have casual friends who watch the show. My friend Logan and his wife Ashley, and they think the show will be funnier and better without Amy. And actually, they didn't mm-hmm. like the last episode either, though. They did not like California Part 2.
How it
they
ended.
Just thought, like, when I told them mm-hmm. my thoughts, that it was didn't really feel like it was a 100th episode good celebration. Episode. It wasn't really good. It was rushed. Right. They yes. echoed those sentiments. Mm-hmm. But so I wanted to, before we move on to next week, DJ, I want to get your thoughts on it, because we haven't really heard your thoughts on California yes. Part 2.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
Yeah.
You heard ours right when you were editing our show and stuff. And I'm sure you saw Aylin all over Twitter.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
You want to get your thoughts, not just on the Amy Jonah thing, but just did it feel like a 100th episode? Was it your thoughts as a whole?
Listening to you guys talk about it kind of helped me process all that. It didn't feel like a 100th episode. It's hard to really get that in, 25 minutes. I will say, they did okay with what they had to work with. That's a really, they painted themselves into a corner, and I got emotional during that kind of warehouse scene there. That got to me. And like you said, Jordan, I'll reiterate the sentiment, like, when, if you're going to go this route, go start earlier. It just felt a little weird. And
were you surprised? Did you think they were going to break up? Were you like on the fence?
I didn't think they were going to break up. I didn't, but Yeah, I mean, as soon as the episode started, I was like, I think they're gonna break up. But
it's hard.
It's hard. I wish there was.
It's because, you know, well, like you said, they kind of were in this corner.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it does make sense, as even I can say that now. Like, it's an adult decision, but just not one none of us wanted, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you enjoyed all of the Casey and I back and forth.
Yeah, it was very civil. Very civil.
And then Jordan popping in the
yeah,
middle there.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I loved all nearly 2 hours of it, to be honest. I was entertained. I was not gonna lie. There was not like a low moment, you know? It was all a very good conversation, so I loved it.
There was a lot to unpack.
A lot. Yeah.
So
yeah, it works out having all these different points of view on the podcast. It'd be boring if we were all agreeing on stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So next week is Prize Wheel, November 19th at 8 o'clock. On the day of Cloud9's in-store vaganza, Dina finally gets the chance to step up to the plate and run the store. Garrett and Cheyenne search for a mysterious smell, and Jonah finds himself excited about a new opportunity. That new opportunity, it's Kelly coming back. I'm just kidding.
Oh, goodness.
But it was announced that she's coming back.
Jordan?
Oh, my God.
I was just waiting for you to say that. Talk about
you
that.
You said the trigger word.
Hashtag Team Kelly. I had somebody Kelly? Like that on my post underneath you.
I'm sure that you did, because there are one or two other people who I have to say are mostly men, who are Team Kelly. And, yeah. And I'm like, you know, this is almost sort of, it's like, you know, here's this, picture this. It's like, you know, I got stabbed. I'm down on the ground. And then, I don't know, who's the producer now? Whoever they are.
Green and Miller.
Miller, Green, whoever you are. And it's like they walked over and took not just a handful, but a whole, you know, container of sand and are shoving it into my stab wound.
Oh.
By saying, oh, guess who's back? Hey, it's your girl, Kelly.
See, I don't think she will be a love interest, though, because they kind of already said that they're not exploring that in the first half of the season. She's supposed to come back in episode 7, so I don't know if that's going to be.
Yeah. I just, you know what, though, Jordan? I say yeah, but I don't have faith in the writers anymore in regards to Jonah's love life. I have faith in them with the show to be funny, absolutely, and to write great other storylines. But I have my guard up with Jonah now, and anything they write for him, I'm going to be like, yeah.
Well, here's the thing about Kelly. Now, in retrospect, I feel like she's a really good fit for him. And I'm not saying this to wind you up, but she knew what she wanted from him pretty early on. And
yeah.
Amy...
she said, I
Amy
love you.
Amy does not. So, like, for, right. You know, Jonah, like...
Yeah.
Man, you missed that. You missed out on that. That she seemed to be the one that actually would have told you, like, yes, let's do this.
Right. Yeah, I don't completely hate Kelly. I don't mind her if she's just going to come back and be on the show and not be with Jonah, then sure, come on back. But I was just going to say, though, from Kelly's point of view, though, since Jonah literally broke up with her when she said, I love you, to him.
Yeah.
I would think, actually, it would be more of a thing where would she want to be with him again? You know what I mean? Because of the way things did end, even though he and Amy are not together, it's still... He still dumped her when she said, I love you.
Yeah, maybe this will be part of the bad year for Jonah, is that, like, maybe she's going to be... Maybe she comes back and shows that she's, like, engaged or something. You know what I'm saying? And it just kind of digs that wound, even deeper for him.
Yeah.
See, that would be more interesting.
It would.
A more interesting route. Yeah.
It would.
Then what I was thinking, the predictable, like...
Right.
aloof stuff, and then end of the season, like, surprise something, right? But
mm-hmm. yeah, heck, maybe she'll get them back together. And then I'll really love her.
Yeah.
But back to Prize Wheel. What kind type of new opportunity do you think Jonah is going to be excited about? Like, okay, he lost out on floor supervisor. There's no really other job openings in the store. Is this something that's outside of the workplace that he's excited about, or?
Well, read that again. Does it say job opportunity or just opportunity?
It says new opportunity. But, you know, what other opportunity is? Yeah.
First thought I had was a pyramid scheme. Have they done anything like that yet?
Oh, no. Yeah, they did it with Cheyenne and Mateo, where she got pulled into that multi-level marketing thing.
Oh,
but
okay.
Jonah right. on one would be really funny. Like, he's hard up for cash because he's homeless, right? We haven't figured out that yet, right? They didn't tell us where he is at. Still, but you know, he doesn't have a girlfriend that's making $100,000 a year anymore, so maybe he needs to get some cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what it could be, because I've seen the promo for this episode. I don't know if you guys have, but it's just part of the Dina storyline.
Right. So, and it's something where it sounds like what happens is Glenn is maybe exposed to somebody with COVID, so he has to sit this one out, and Dina becomes kind of acting manager. What do we think an in-store vaganza is? Should people really be having like a Black Friday type thing like during this?
It kind of for a moment reminded me of like, you know, what, like Color Wars. Maybe it's something like that.
Oh, that was
You know, classic. like employees against each other type of thing with selling stuff, maybe. I don't know.
And then we get Garrett and Cheyenne searching for a mysterious smell. This sounds like the C plot here. This sounds like this one will be the very short one that we open up the show with next week. Because I just don't know what that would be. Not a gas leak, hopefully, but like a sewage thing. I don't know.
Maybe a collection of rotting foot.
Oh, there we go.
Or rotting feet.
Yeah, it'd be feet.
Yeah, or Marcus's boob cheese. Maybe in his locker.
Where Marcus is using like the shower, he's stomping his poop down the shower drain. Oh boy, he was close to MVP for this episode too. He was up there for my golden vest.
Anything is possible.
But yeah, so that's it. That's it next week, November 19th, and then it looks like we have a break until December 10th. And then we get one December 17th, and then it looks like the next episode 7, the one where Kelly comes back, will air in 2021.
So way to start off the new year.
Way to start it off, right?
Three left. Is that a bad omen for 2021? Just like 2020 was bad, is it that Kelly's coming back in 2021, that this is not a good year as well?
You know, though, it's pretty close, because I'm trying to remember exactly now, but when did America make that announcement?
I want to say February 28th.
February. Because I knew it was after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it says it right here. February 28th, the last day of February. It was 12 days before they shut down production.
Yeah. That's crazy. And I just remember it was after Valentine's Day, too, because usually they announce that they're renewed right around Valentine's Day, oddly enough. And, yeah, we had gotten season 6 renewal news, maybe a week or two before America's
something
announcement?
Like that. Yeah, let me see if that's on
here. Yeah, and I was like, what the
hell? February 11th. Yeah, February 11th. And then February 28th was when America announced that.
Yeah, I was like, how do I go from being happy to miserable within 2 weeks? and then all year long, and then not knowing what was happening with the finale, and then all summer long, and then not knowing even when the show was coming back. I'm telling you, there's nowhere to go but up, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that about wraps us up. If you want to contact us, give us a shout on Twitter at TBR Podcast, Instagram at TBR Podcast, Facebook.com/Breakroom Superstore, or email us thebreakroomss thefilmsnobs@gmail.com. And we will catch you all next week to break down Prize Wheel.